If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 10. Job, chapter 10. I was reading something this week from, actually it dealt with pain and suffering in this world today. And it just dawned on me. Miss Sandra mentioned at our Sunday school exercise this morning about our prayer list and how we really ought to keep our prayer list with us, and we ought to lift these people up daily. And I'll be honest with you, it's funny that she mentioned that. That's something that I used to mention constantly at Oak Grove, that, you know, we need to lift up people in prayer. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We'll stand here in front of you this morning, and I'm just a country boy from the community of Powhatan, but I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe that prayer is our medium of contact with God. I believe God hears, and I believe God answers, and I've seen evidence of that, haven't you? I think sometimes Scripture tells us that we don't have because we don't ask. And we need to lift one another up. If I'm going through a trial, I want you praying for me. Hear me on that now, okay? I know you got a lot of people to pray for, but if I'm going through something and I need your prayers, I want you lifting me up. And by the same token, we need to lift one another up. Because it's absolutely amazing what God can do through the power of prayer. But when you just stop and look at our prayer list and you look around, you realize how much pain and suffering is going on in the world today. And it's not all across and overseas. It's not even all in other states. It's right under our noses. We're affected by it. And you know, here's the thing. We'll be affected by it until Jesus comes back. But my Bible tells us how we deal with it in the meantime. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Job chapter 10, and let's look at two verses of Scripture. And this is Job talking. Job chapter 10, beginning in verse 2. Job chapter 10, beginning in verse 2. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning as we examine your Scripture, Father, as we take just a moment to worship, Father, around these verses, and others, Father, that we'll reference. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts this morning, and Father, that you would help us to see that no matter what we're faced with, no matter what we go through, the only answer, Father, the only answer that will do any good is you. And Father, I pray that you would open our hearts this morning and help us to glean something from the message that you've prepared today. Father, that will help us live a life more pleasing to you. Father, if there are any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, that have never made that commitment to you, Father, I pray that something today that is said or done or sung, Father, would touch that heart. Father, that this would be the day they give their heart and their life to you before it's too late. Father, get glory from everything done here this morning, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. The Scripture we read this morning is about Job. You've heard the story. Job was a man that experienced tremendous loss. He lost his possessions. He was a wealthy man. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. And then he lost his health. And yet, Scripture tells us that he was a man that loved God and he walked right before him. The very first verse of this book says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was the ideal man, if you will. And God had blessed him. He had a lot of worldly things. And above all else, he gave the credit to God for this. He always looked for God and turned his face toward him, and God blessed him. But yet, there came a time in his life where this good and perfect man who walked right before God experienced suffering. And when that happened, Job did what you and I would do. He began to question God. He began to almost try to plead his case before God. In the verses that we read this morning, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress and thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Job is questioning God. Do you enjoy making me suffer? Do you enjoy hurting me? Do you hate the very person that you made? Is that why I'm going through this time of suffering? Is that why I've lost my family, my health, everything that I had? Is that what you're doing to me, God? And you know what, folks? The same kind of questions still being asked today. When we find ourselves in hardships, we wonder, you know, does God hate me? Why in the world is God allowing me to suffer like this? Why is it me and not somebody else? I try to do good. I try to live right. Why is it me and not somebody else? Life's hard to understand. And when we don't understand it, we tend to get frustrated. And we want answers. We want somebody to take accountability for what we're going through, especially when we know that it's no fault of our own. We want somebody to tell us why. We want the why. And a lot of times, we don't have that. We can make sense out of somebody if they go out and they get drunk or they're on drugs and they're driving a car and they run off the road and they hit a tree and they kill themselves. That's a tragedy, but we understand that. We can rationalize that in our mind. They put themselves in that position. But what about that drunk driver that blows a stop sign and T-bones a car with children in it and hurts them? How do we make sense of that? How do we rationalize that? Because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we have trouble coming to grips with that, don't we? We really do. It's in those times that we've got to have faith that although we don't understand, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Let me give you a couple of examples, and I hope Miss Barbara and Mr. J.E. don't mind me using this example, but it came to my mind when I was studying for this. Many years ago, they were involved in an accident. They were involved in an accident that could have been a lot worse. And Lord knows we hated the fact that they were in that accident. But that accident brought to light another need that Miss Barbara had. And had it not been for that accident, that tragedy, she may have never found out about that. We have people within our own congregation that are going through suffering at this time. Miss Barbara's been battling with her kidney problem for some time. Miss Carol's been in pain as long as I can remember. Linda's going for surgery this Thursday. We know that Miss Kathy Jones is dealing with cancer. Some of you have lost loved ones within the past few months. And there's many of you got family members going through cancer and other needs. And many of you have other needs that just God knows about. And the list just goes on. What about the victims of the tornadoes here in North Carolina back on April the 16th? They're going through suffering. What about the people in Alabama or just recently the people in Joplin, Missouri? Can you imagine the suffering that they're going through? The pain that they're going through. The people along the Mississippi River have experienced flooding that was terrible. Many of them lost everything they have. And a lot of times We look at those situations and others around us and we wonder, why in the world would a good God allow such suffering? Some people say that they use that to say that there could not possibly be a God who's good, because if there was, he wouldn't allow such suffering, and they deny that he even exists. Other people say that God is sending these tragedies and trials on individuals and countries and nations because of their sin. I heard a man say one time that he had heard a person say when the levees broke during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. He heard a man say, he goes, well, the reason the levees broke was because God was punishing that wicked city. That was God's wrath at work. And then another person, he said, he heard say, well, he saw God's grace in all of that because people had warning and many people were able to get out before the levees broke. And so the death toll wasn't nearly as high as it could have been. One person viewed it as God's wrath. One person viewed it as God's grace. And I think that's true of a lot of times the suffering that we face. How we view it depends on how we view God. How we view it depends on how we view God. That our view of suffering is affected by our view of God. We need never forget that we serve a God that's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He's involved in everything. And throughout the Bible, we can see where God came along and he delivered his people from tragedies and from trials. And other times, he let the trials and the tragedies occur. Or maybe it took a while. Sometimes we don't understand that. I'm sure we are just like Job, that we face tragedies and trials. We don't understand why we're going through them. We want answers. And many times we may not get them. But I believe God has a reason for everything, even though we may not always understand it. But I think there's several things, reasons that we experience and deal with sufferings and tragedies. And one of those is to sometimes alert us to a bigger problem, just like Barbara and J.E. went through. The tragedy that they encountered with that accident alerted them to the fact that Miss Barbara had another problem that needed to be dealt with. Had that wreck never occurred, there's no telling how long that would have gone. And frankly, we don't know, but she may not be sitting here this morning. So that they can look back on that now as a benefit. One of my agents many years ago, a guy named Peter Darling, Peter's an agent in Raleigh. His wife has been through battles with cancer for years. And Peter was out playing golf one day, and his wife doesn't play golf, but she went out just to walk with him. And as they're walking along the course on a nice spring day, a stray ball comes over the trees, and it hits his wife right in the head. And that was bad enough. I mean, he had a big knot in the black eye, but a couple of days later, she began to have headaches. They go to the doctor, they ran a scan, found out she had a brain tumor. They did emergency surgery. I called Ginger and I told her, I said, I want to go by the hospital tonight. Peter and I played golf together. I said, I want to go by. And as we walked into the hospital, the doctor had just been out. They had just got through doing surgery. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth was, I can't wait till she wakes up to tell her it's not cancer. That's a benefit, folks. The suffering, the trial that she went through, that ball striking in her head, her in the head, alerted them to a larger problem that needed to be dealt with. When we experience pain in our bodies, it alerts us to a larger problem. If I'm standing up here and I start gripping my chest and telling you I've got pains in my chest, service is probably going to be over early. Okay? Because I know I need to get help. If I start feeling numbness in my hands and I start being dizzy, I know my dad battled with strokes. That may be a sign and I need to get help. In the same way, in our spiritual life, a lot of times, I have a feeling some of these things that come our way are meant to alert us to problems, spiritual problems in our lives that we need to deal with before it's too late. We need to address them. And I can use an example for that. King David, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, right? Even Jesus came from the line of David. David was a man after God's own heart. But guess what? David sinned. David committed murder. David committed adultery. And the child that was born as a result of that sin died. David had to suffer through that. David had to deal with that. But you know what? David repented. David repented from that sin and he turned his face back to God. Sometimes I think that the pain and the suffering that we go through, it causes us to take a hard look at our life to make sure that we're following the path that God has laid out for us. If not, sometimes correction is needed. Jonah ran from God, and guess what? He ended up in the belly of a whale, didn't he? But when he came through that, he went and did what God told him to do, didn't he? He went through that sometimes, I think, so God could get him back on the right track. When we experience these types of things, we need to remember what Scripture says in Hebrews. It says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." I love the quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains." Whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Sometimes I think we experience tragedies to maybe alert us to a problem that's bigger. Maybe we go through trials and sufferings to direct us in a certain way. Job, as he was experiencing this suffering and is going through this tragedy, several of his friends came by. They came by to see him, and they thought that the reason he was going through all of this was because that he had committed some type of sin in his life. Jesus' disciples even asked him, when Jesus encountered a man that was born blind, they asked him, "Jesus, what did this man or his parents do that he was born blind?" And do you remember what Jesus told him? Jesus said he was born blind so that the Son could be glorified in him. He said that this man was suffering so that God's glory could be revealed in him to everyone else. Isn't it funny? Because sometimes people think that others experience suffering and pain in their life because they're traveling down the wrong road, they're doing the wrong things, they're not living a life that is pleasing to God. But you know what? A lot of times if you talk to people that have been on those roads, that have been on the wrong road, and God has got a hold of their heart, they'll tell you it was that very situation they were in, and God coming to meet them where they were at, that caused them to turn their face toward God. My Uncle Waylon, God rest his soul, I love that man, but it took him losing his daughter in a wreck before he went and he gave his life to Christ. And I mean, he didn't wait. When Kim lost her life on a Wednesday night, Waylon was at church giving his heart to Christ on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. That man was a Christian man to the day he died. But it took something like this to turn his face toward God. When we go through sufferings and trials and tribulations, it tends to force us to depend on God. We get to a point where everything we own, everything we have, all the knowledge that we have is useless. We can't fix it. We can't do anything. We don't know where else to turn. And the only place we know to turn is to a higher power. And our hearts get softened and we become receptive. We realize through faith that although we may not be able to understand the trials we're facing right now, we serve a God that's faithful to see us through. Those are the times that force us to look beyond the right now, today, and we look toward tomorrow. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 1:11, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our faith causes us to hope and pray for healing and for comfort and for resolution of the problem that we're involved in. That's our things hoped for. All the while knowing that if and when our healing or the resolution to our problem takes place and our issue will be resolved, that's the evidence of things not seen. But the whole time we know, no matter what, that God has control. That's the substance of our faith. And we need to remember, folks, that it may not always be us that God's trying to direct. God may be using the trial that we go through to direct somebody else. We profess to be Christians. We profess to be Christ-like. But I guarantee you, the minute you and I face a tragedy, there are going to be people in this world that don't know Jesus as their Savior that are going to watch how we handle this. And you know what? That doesn't mean, folks, that we don't need to shed a tear. That doesn't mean that we don't even need to question God. But we need to hold our faith strong. We need to hold our faith strong. And we need to hold on to the hand of the one that holds tomorrow. We may never see the results that our suffering has on somebody else. I am convinced that there's a lot of people that are going to be in heaven that were saved in the blink of an eye. Maybe saved on their deathbed before that last breath left their body. And I am convinced there's going to be a lot of people that walk up to good, godly Christian people that have gone through sufferings and say, "You're the reason I'm here. I watched. I saw how your faith never faltered. And I resisted for years, but on my deathbed, I gave my heart to Christ, and you're the reason I'm here." I'm convinced, folks, God uses our sufferings and our tragedies not just to direct us, but to direct other people. I think our sufferings and our tragedies are used to mold us. Every day during the week, somewhere between 5 and 6 in the morning, I try to go to the gym. And I miss a few days when I get lazy or I get tired. But by and large, I know y'all are looking going, "Ain't no way he goes to the gym." I started not to even say that, but it's the truth. I go to the gym, I hadn't fixed how I eat yet, so it kind of balances out, you know. But I go there and I get there and I start working out and I torture myself for about 45 minutes or an hour. And usually when I'm on that treadmill somewhere about a mile and a half in, I'm ready to give up. My legs are aching, I'm breathing hard, I'm sweating like I've been mauling wood all day and I'm about ready to quit, but I don't. But I don't. But you know what? Every morning, I don't look forward to getting up and going to that gym. But you know why I do? I do it because I had a mother that had heart problems. I had a dad that had problems with strokes. I know part of that is hereditary. I'm loving the life God has given me here on this earth, and I'm ready to go home when He calls, but I want to be here as long as I can. You know? So there's benefits from doing that. Believe it or not, I actually have dropped a little bit of weight. My blood pressure is better. I'm not eating a Tums in I don't know how long. So there's some benefits to that. You may be saying, "Well, preacher, I can buy the fact that exercise is going to give you a benefit and it's worth some of that short-term pain." But what about the illnesses my family's going through? They're dealing with cancer. They're going through a long-term tragedy. What about the accidents that happen where people are injured and maimed, the tragedies, the pain that's caused? What kind of good can come from those? Is that pain really worth the gain? Well, in Romans chapter 5, it says, "But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." We're not being told that we are to celebrate in having to endure sufferings, but rather to rejoice in what God can do through our sufferings. The Apostle James also mentioned sufferings when he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That word temptations there actually means trials or sufferings. And notice that James doesn't say, if you fall into trials, he says, when. When you fall in trials. He's trying to get across to us that this can be a time where God is able to mold us and make us into the people that He wants us to be. We should use that time to learn something from it. We should rejoice in the fact that even though we're suffering and going through trials, God will make it a blessing. He'll give us patience, perseverance. He'll help us mature in our character, and He'll give us hope. In short, He can make us to be more Christ-like. Warren Wiersbe said, "God proves His sovereignty not by intervening constantly in preventing these events, but by ruling and overruling them so that even tragedies end up accomplishing His ultimate purpose." I love that quote. God can do His will through whatever we face. And finally, I think one reason we face sufferings and tragedies is to unite us, is to bring us together. When other people close to us are hurting, it reminds us just how much we need each other. It reminds us just how fragile we are. Folks, I have felt the Spirit of God in this church as we've had our prayer meetings, and we've seen God's hand at work. Amen? We have seen His hand at work, and we want our church to be a place where God lives. We want our church to be a place where God dwells. And I can tell you that Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church is such a place. You can feel God's presence when you come in this hall, this hallowed building. But the thing is, even though many of you here have already gone through pain and suffering and loss of loved ones, even in the short time that I've been here, listen what I've seen just standing back and watching. I've seen you bring food. I've seen you make phone calls. I've seen you make visits. I've seen you pray for others. I've seen you spend time in the hospitals. I've seen you keep me informed when somebody is in need. I've seen you give of yourself. Folks, that's Christian love. That's Christian love. And as difficult as it is for whoever going through that trial and that tragedy, the way people come together and they rally around one another tends to unite us. It tends to bring us together. Paul used the analogy of a human body to describe a body of believers, just like our church. And he says, no matter what part of the body you are, you're just as important as any other, and the entire body can't do without you. We're all important. And as a result, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. He says in 1 Corinthians, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." When one gets knocked down, there's a group there waiting around them to pick them up, dust them off, and help them back on their way. That's what we have as a body of believers right here at Powhatan. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's something precious. That's something precious. But what about those people outside of Powhatan? What about those people that are not members here? What about those people that may not even be Christians, but they're in our community, that we know them in our family? Where do they turn when they go through sufferings and trials? You know what? It's up to us to reach out to them. It's up to us to reach out to them, folks. We are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ constantly reached out to His enemies. He reached out to those that weren't in His inner circle, His disciples. He reached out to those that were outcast. He reached out to those that society had kicked to the curb. He was always there for them. And I want you to listen to this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the Father of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. We know what God can do in our lives. We need to be telling that, folks, to other people. We need to be sharing that good news. One of my favorite verses from Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. It's clear, folks, that God depended us to be dependent on one another. And I think sometimes we go through difficult times so it will unite us. I want to close. We started off with Job's questioning God. Do you enjoy hurting me, God? Do you hate me? Do you enjoy putting me through all of this misery and woe? And a little further over in that book in Job chapter 42, verse 3, Job realized that even though God, his family was gone, his possessions were gone, his health was gone, Job realized that God was still the one in control. He says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Another translation puts it like this, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful which I did not know. We all experience trials. We all go through times of suffering. You probably have, or you may be experiencing that time right now in your life. If you haven't, you will. And it's in those times that we want answers. We get upset, we get angry, we question God, and that's okay. The Scripture says we can be angry as long as we don't sin. And even Jesus questioned his own Father while he was hanging on Calvary's cross. But it's in those times that we need to have faith to know that God can make our trial a blessing. He can use our situation to alert us to something in our life that's a bigger problem that we need to deal with. He can use our problem to direct us along the path that He wants us to go. He can use our time of suffering to mold us and make us, when we're softened, into the person that He wants us to be. And then He can use us as a bigger body to unite us as one, if we'll just let Him. God loves us, folks. We don't even never need to forget that. You want to talk suffering? God loved us so much that He sent His only Son into this world to suffer and die for us. Can you imagine what it was like for a father giving up His only begotten Son to die for people that would turn their backs on Him? That's suffering, folks. But He did it because He loved us. We need to realize, folks, no matter what we face in this world, we're just passing through. We're just passing through. This is not our home, is it? This is not our home. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I hope this day will be the day you give your heart and your life to Him. I want to end with one illustration about a man. His name was Joseph Damien. Joseph Damien was a Belgian priest. And in 1873, he went to minister to the leper colonies in Molokai, Hawaii. He got there and he began trying to minister to the leper colonies, and they would have nothing to do with him. They shunned him. He spent 12 years ministering to those lepers. During that time, he built a small church there, and he would hold services for them, and literally nobody came. And after 12 years, Mr. Damien just had enough. And he said, I'm quitting. I'm done. It's over. I've tried. And he booked his fare back home on a ship back to Belgium. And as he's waiting on the docks, he wrote, as he was waiting on the docks, getting ready to get on that boat and go back to Belgium, he happened to look down at his hands and he saw the white spots of leprosy on his hands. And he knew there was no way he could go back home. So he turned back around and he went back to that leper colony. now not as Joseph Damien, a Belgian priest there to minister to them, but he was there as Joseph Damien, a leper. And he went back and he got into his hut, and word spread to the other lepers about the fact that this man that had been there trying to work with them for 12 years, they hadn't given him the time of day, had contracted leprosy. The next time he held a service in his church, it was filled to overflowing. And he spent the rest of his life ministering to those lepers and leading most of them to God. God made his trial a blessing. Not the way he intended, but God made his trial a blessing. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I know what some of you are going through. But the one that knows everything is my Lord. And I can't fix it, but he can. I don't have the answers, but he does. And if the answer doesn't come and say, this is why, my scripture says that he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know this Jesus you've been talking about. Folks, let me tell you something. You need to come to this altar and let me share Christ with you this morning. I guarantee you can walk out different than you walked in. I guarantee you, you can walk out, and if you face suffering, if you're going through a trial right now, you'll have someone to lean on. You'll have someone to share that burden with you. Folks, I don't know how we make it. I don't know how people make it that don't know Christ. I really don't. I really don't. Folks, I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. I may experience a tragedy that changes my life tomorrow. I hope I don't. But I may experience a tragedy that changes my life tomorrow. But one thing I do know, if that were to occur, I know that the God I serve is going to take me through it. I've staked my very life on that. And I believe it. And he'll carry you as well. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, this morning, I know there's suffering and pain, Father, within our own congregation. Father, many times we shake our fist at you and ask why. Lord, many times those answers don't come, at least not quick enough for us. But Father, I pray that you would help us all this morning that are going through trials and tribulations, Father, that you would help us to lean on you. Father, that you would give us in our very souls that peace that passes all understanding, and help us, Father, as a people to unite together, lifting one another up and bearing one another's burdens. Father, we believe that you can make whatever trial we go through an absolute blessing. So, Father, as we have our time of commitment this morning, our invitation, Father, I pray that you touch hearts this morning. Father, that you bring people to a saving knowledge of you. Father, and if there are burdens out there that are being carried, Father, I pray that they'll come this morning, they'll lay them down before you and leave it there. Lord, this time is yours. May you get honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 317. Hymn number 317. If